CliffCentral.com. Good day. You made it through sleep. Well done. Well done. As you can see, I've got a very handsome, bedheaded looking man with me this morning. Not in my bed, obviously. If you're listening to this on the podcast, you might be thinking, what's happened here? But I would have no problem if I was a gay person, but I'm not a gay man. And I don't know what Markle Flex has to say for himself, but he is definitely here joining us via the interwebs. Markle Flex, talk to me. How are you doing?
That is one intro, hey? Jeez. I felt like you just had a shovel and you started digging and then you were already knees deep.
Yeah, no, that's the way to do it. What you need is, once you start digging, right, is get a bigger shovel. That's what I believe. Get a bigger shovel. Just keep digging. You know what I'm saying?
Commit to the hole.
That's it. Absolutely commit to the hole. Markle, one thing I've always wanted to ask you is, do you know Markle De Broglio? I'd like to see the two of you meet sometime.
From De Broglio Attorneys.
That's the one. If it's not your fault, it shouldn't be your problem.
Is that ad still running? I don't like watch TV or anything, so I don't even know.
What do you watch?
So I'll like pick one single Netflix thing to watch and I'll like just watch that. So currently I'm watching Sex Education and that stuff is good.
All right.
So it is so relatable. I don't know if like the new younger generation, whatever they want to call themselves, millennials or what, but I can relate to that. That stuff happened to me in school. Those questions got asked to me in school. Like every episode I'm like, oh, they get me.
That's awesome. You should be able to connect with your art. Simpiwe is here with us as well. Simpiwe, how are you doing this morning?
I am all shades of awesome.
No, fantastic. And have you seen both Michael De Broglio and Sex Education? Are you aware of those two great phenomenons that South Africa has?
I'm aware of Michael De Broglio, not Sex Education. Aren't they on like season 4 or something? Like it's been running. Or is it,
well, I have no clue. No spoilers, because I'm only on season 2.
Okay, and how did you hear about it, Markle?
My roommates were watching it, and then I watched a single episode, and I was like, oh, no, this is rubbish. And then I decided to start like on my own and watch the first 2 episodes. And my theory is, if you can get through the first 2 episodes, then you're kind of hooked. So now I'm kind of hooked.
And enjoying it, huh?
Yeah, and I'm not the biggest fan of like watching series and stuff. I'd rather read a book or go do something outside. I don't want to be labeled one of those people that will Netflix all day and just waste their life on the TV, etc. I feel like life is outside, and it's not. I mean, you can live life inside, but it's more in a productive way. It's not watching TV. It's playing guitar or reading a book, learning something. I feel like we waste our lives in front of TVs.
So, Marco, last time you were on, you had a new job, or you were transitioning to a new job, or you'd just gotten a new job. So maybe you want to give us an update there.
Yeah, this is like my third job during lockdown, third or fourth job, but I'm absolutely loving life. I was thinking last night that, and sometimes you like have these realizations, and I might have had a realization last night that this could be my career for life, that this could be the one I enjoy the most and the one I stick to and the one I excel the most at. Do you know, like when you're figuring out what you're good at and then you find a chosen path and then you just foot flat in that lane? This could be it, because I'm absolutely loving it. I love waking up in the morning. I love actually doing the job. And I don't think a lot of people can say they love doing their job. Most people just do their job so that their money can pay their bills. But I'm at the point where I've like stopped thinking about the money and I'm enjoying actually just doing the work, if that makes sense.
No, that does make sense. How old are you now, Michael? Sorry, Markle.
I turned 29 last month.
Okay.
And I don't feel that old though. And I've started a lot of new skincare routines now, the older I get.
Oh, okay.
Though, whoa, I am whoa,
whoa. Routine. Whoa, you just said the magic words. Hold there, Markle. Whoa.
You do skincare routines.
I have no clue about what skincare routines are.
This is my crowd. Oh, no.
Well, Simpiwe is all about that. But hold on.
You're on the right track.
So at 29.
You're close to 30. Come on. You're doing good. You're doing great. Before Mbulelo comes in with negativity, let me give you some praise, all right? It's good to take care of your skin and take care of yourself, and I'm glad that you've actually hopped onto a skincare routine. It's going to make you age like fine wine, and this is actually a good habit. Whatever Mbulelo says after me, just know that this is a good habit that you've picked up on. Mbulelo, the floor is yours.
No, I was going to say, Markel, I'm not really into it, but I'm interested in the whole thing. And later on, we'll be joined by a guy called Sean, right? And Sean Saunders is from Revex. He also must be on a skincare routine. Incredibly handsome dude, but even smarter, which is his thing. So we'll talk crypto a little later. And then a man who has done plenty for this country in terms of comms and telecoms and things like that. And obviously has his podcast with us, Unbundled. Jaco Voigt, the CEO of Catalytics, going to join us a little bit later in the second hour. So that's just a little teaser on what's to come a little bit later. Because Markel Flex has just said the most amazing words, a skin routine. Michael, what are we talking about here? Every day? Are we talking 7 days? Are we talking cucumbers on the eyes? Are we talking Avo sort of layers? Take me into what you mean by skincare routine.
So it's interesting. It's not something I thought I'd get into or even care about. And I was literally, all I did was I used to go buy like the cheapest face wash, and I would just use face wash once a day. Then I started using face wash twice a day. And then someone told me that one needs to moisturize and put SPF on during the day. And then I started doing that. That was my next step. So every morning I put this stuff is so expensive. Like, stuff that goes on your face is so expensive. It's ridiculous. I think they extort us. but anyway, they come out with names you can't even pronounce, like Vichy and Javinci and whatever. But anyway, I started, like, the tubs just get smaller and the price just gets bigger. You put it on in the morning, you moisturize your face, it's got SPF. Then I went away for a weekend and one of my mates was using the stuff called salicylic acid. And by using the stuff and my mates, I mean like in the past 4 days. So I went and I bought salicylic acid. Now I've been using salicylic acid. So I've got the moisturizer for the day, I've got the salicylic acid. And now I'm on the third step or the fourth step, whichever step you see it as. But it's where I need something where I go to bed. And apparently you need moisturizer to sleep with. And it's also important to let your skin be oily. And apparently the moisturizer talks to releasing just the right amount of oil for your skin, that it's not too much oil. So last night I went on all those websites, and it's weird. When you start looking for skincare routines, everything's personalized. And they have like surveys on their website. So I was busy doing a survey and asked you a whole bunch of questions, what you expect from life with your skin, etc. And then they decide on the most expensive products to position to you. And they won't just position one, they'll position an entire day worth of products. But I don't want to be one of those people that's just putting on like skincare products all day. So I'll put on something in the morning, I wash my face at night, I'll put on the SPF during the day, and now I'm at the phase where I need some sort of moisturizer to wear to bed. Problem is, this thing costs like a cell number. You look at these prices and they don't stop. It's tiny bottles and it's just really expensive. So I get to the point where I'm like, is it really worth investing in? I mean, who wants to pay like 500-600 rand for a little vial?
I understand your complaint about it being expensive, but this is a good like habit, as I said earlier on. Do you know what kind of skin you have? Like, do you have oily skin, dry? Is it combination? Do you know that?
So I think I have oily skin.
Okay.
And my breakouts are caused by the oil.
Okay.
What are you using when you go to bed?
I have like a night cream. So I have a morning moisturizer and a night cream. I know what I'm supposed to do, but I don't actually do it. So I really have like a three-step skincare routine. It's just I have a face wash that I use. I have a moisturizer, and then I also like every couple of days I use a face mask to just make sure that my skin is looking all sorts of dashing. So I do know that you need to have a bit more like things, serums and whatnot and all that, but my skin is pretty like clear, so I don't have to do a whole lot of that. But I do have like what's this? Why am I forgetting? SPF in my in my moisturizers and like facial one. Like there's a facial one that I have as well because I don't want breakouts. But I'm proud of you, Michael. That's something you should, you know, put on your CV that you have a skincare routine.
So I wish I started it earlier.
Yeah, the best time to plant a tree is 25 years ago. So Michael, when I was young when I was young and handsome, like, well, like younger, I've never been as handsome as you are in my life. I'm 35, so I spent time at a place called university, and some of the stuff you've mentioned we had to use. So you said I noticed you said Sicilian.
Sicilic acid.
Okay.
Don't know what it does, but it works.
Yeah. I think it's salicylic is what it was. I believe is what you're looking for there. And so we used to use it.
Are you sure?
Well, if it's the same stuff we used to use, because I studied a little thing called chemistry, and in it we used to use it to clean surfaces, clean like we sometimes in genetics we'd work on not full cadavers, but. But yeah, just in the interest of education. But you might be right. Maybe it's a different compound that I haven't heard of. But if it's the stuff I'm talking about, then there's an LI. So just, you know.
I can't verify this.
Okay, well, but I might be wrong as well. You know, I only have an undergrad as well. I'm not exactly like Richard Dawkins. So all right, you're in the skincare game, huh? All right, listen, every day is a school day. I'm enjoying this. Thank you for teaching me, guys, because I've never been into a skin routine. I don't really look at it. I mean, I do a bit of SPF when I'm running, but other than that, just keep it simple and stay hydrated is what I try and do. But okay, well, that's good for people to learn out there that wash your face, what, three times a day, Michael? Two times a day, Simpiwe? Well, what are we doing in terms of washing our face, putting the cream back on?
I would say twice a day, in the morning and just before you go to bed. As a female, if you wear makeup, it's very important that like you actually take care of your skin, so you need to let it breathe. So there's an even longer process. So for me, I hardly wear makeup. It's probably when I go to events or something, then I'll put makeup on, so I don't really need to worry about my skin breathing. But as a female who wears makeup, make sure that you get it all out. Don't ever sleep with makeup on. Don't ever do that mistake.
And also, obviously,
can you imagine makeup to be too healthy for your skin?
Well, I mean, I also just want to point out, Simpiwe, a little bit sexist there. Men can wear makeup as well. So if you're a man, please also follow those instructions, because obviously in a time of, I mean, Simpiwe, I'm highly offended by in the time we live in that you think men can't wear makeup. But okay, fine, let's move on.
Let's move on.
No, well, no. You only gave that warning for women. And I thought, you know, Michael, you don't have to be offended on my behalf. But I thought for all the men that do wear makeup at this stage, I just want to say, let's not let Simpiwe not make us wash our face if you do wear makeup. Markle, a different Markle, not DeBroglio, not Flax, says any Chinese person will tell you that the best skincare routine is drinking green tea regularly. Have you noticed how young looking aged Chinese people appear? Green tea is their secret. Now
it's not only green tea.
Uh-huh.
It's like they have those things that they, I don't know what they, but they do like these things onto their face, like,
oh, those rollers.
Yes, and you have to do that as well.
They look like a gimmick to me.
You have to do that
like
every
a rock
day.
On a roller.
And then they also do the patting, like to release the stress and what. There's a whole thing. They have the secret. I'm just not that invested to find out what the actual secret is. But there's techniques that they use, and they just tap their forehead, and it just makes them stay younger, you know? and just need to massage, you know, the side of your head every night.
Unbelievable.
It's a whole thing. It's a whole thing.
Yeah, hey, the Chinese, I do like the Chinese. They are leading in most of the things in the world. So we should probably follow them in skincare routines as well. Ariella Cameron says, try a couple of drops of tissue oil on your face when you go to bed for oily skin. Sounds contradictory, but it actually balances it. Now, life is chemistry, right? The bedrock of life is chemistry. Everything you do every day actually is science. It's chemistry. No matter what you're touching, everything is some sort of, no matter how simple, element or compound. So, Ariella, it doesn't sound crazy.
You seriously study chemistry?
Listen, study is a strong word, Michael. For 5 years, I pitched up in university and, you know, eventually wrote tests. And I do have a degree in it. Study is very, very strong.
A degree in chemistry?
Yeah. I mean, you shouldn't be impressed. It's not that hard.
What do you do with that? Is that where you become a chemist or...
No, so you're talking about pharmacology, a little different study. So so we all start with a base of chemistry, and then when you're the smart kids, you get into something called honors, and then you get to specialize. So the type of people you see, and it should give you a new level of respect, because pharma students are the rock stars, right? Chemistry is all about stats. If you can't do stats, you can't do chemistry. It doesn't matter how, like, you can't be a complete dum-dum. So it's not like doing a BA in marketing or whatever where anyone can get in, or law or whatever it is. You got to be able to do
marketing.
Well, sorry, Markel. I mean, I can't go back on my aggression now. Sorry. You're a great guy, though. You're a great guy.
That shovel gets bigger.
Yeah, I don't feel bad. I got in. So... but no, listen, next time you pick up Disprin or whatever, that person behind there, trust me, has done murderous hours. They're some of the smartest people on this planet. So get some new respect for these human beings. You know what I mean?
What did you want to be that you studied chemistry? Like, why did you apply to study chemistry?
I don't know. You know, fulfill the whole family thing. So my father's a chemical engineer. Who knows why I did it? But I've always loved the sciences since I was young. So who knows?
That's pretty cool. Chemical engineer. No clue what they do, but sounds cool.
So they're the guys who are, I wouldn't say destroying the world, but they largely work in resources and mining. So my father worked. So, you know, in mining, you got to get water down to like miners or make sure that you can clean things down there. After drilling, you need sort of hydration, not just for your guys, but you need all sorts of things and liquids to get down, 2,000 meters into the ground. So my father would work with people called metallurgists, and they the real smarty pants, and they'd work out how, hey, let's keep these pipes clean and let's get water to the guys down there and other things that need to get down there. So so that's
an Aquazania machine or two down there. Let's fill themselves up.
That's Markel Flax. All right, Markel, everybody wants to know, how's your mother?
Yeah, she's great. My parents are doing very well, thank God.
What's she up to?
Business is good. Oh, you know, she's the number one caterer in South Africa, if not Africa. Number one kosher caterer. Big shout out to Catering by Riva. But yeah, she, like, business took a knock during COVID. Of course, she couldn't have functions and that, but functions are now back. She's back to catering. I'm very, very proud of my parents. I was thinking about it the other day. They both... in their 60s, and all they've ever done is their own company. They've always only had their own company, worked for themselves and done what they love. And I think that's sort of like the true value of life, is to do what you want, because that's how like real companies start. It's like, as Elon Musk says, it's like chewing glass and staring into the abyss. It's hard. You have to wait for years until it really takes off, and you have to keep your foot flat, even when you turn into gravel road or have to climb up a mountain, etc. And I believe my parents have done that. They worked hard. Eventually, their businesses took off, and now they're doing what they love. And I think that's pretty beautiful, and like everyone should try achieve that goal. Imagine starting a company, and it's every company you start out is never instant success. You really got to go through the hard times, the good times, for it to be a success.
Yeah,
and most people give up when the hard times hit. They think, oh, it's cool to own a company. But as soon as the hard times hit, they cave in and then they don't want to do it. And it's the real winning starts after those hard times.
Hey, that's here, Michael. Well said, and long live to your parents, and long may they keep creating jobs for South Africans and making sure that people are fed. Graham Ross Armstrong says, where is Gareth? Is this now everyone except the Gareth Cliff Show? So, Graham, I just want to at this stage say, because the world is obviously about you, let me directly apologize to you for serving up the B team and the dross that has been us. But you'll be relieved to know, Graham. You'll be relieved to know that tomorrow you can wake up, make your coffee. I don't know what else it is, whatever it is that about you that you're going to do in the morning. And Gareth Cliff will be back. So the A-team will be back tomorrow. Gareth is still away, folks. It's his last day away. He's just getting a bit of R&R, and he will be up and at him tomorrow. So you can join us at the same time, and Gareth Cliff will be back. And then Graham's life can be so much better, and he can get everything he wants just so his world can be perfect for Graham all the time. So, listen, Markham.
Is Gareth on holiday?
Oh, yeah. You know, he's allowed holiday, isn't he, Markle?
Is he by the beach or something?
No, I don't know. I can't reveal his current location. I think
it's a secret location.
Yeah.
I think it's all revealed tomorrow.
Maybe, maybe not. But stay tuned and listen to the podcast.
Which you can catch, by the way, on cliffcentral.com, the Cliff Central app, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Markle, I also wanted to ask you something else in Simpiwe. You are welcome to answer this. So I saw what was the most electrifying story in the world. Now, whatever you may think of the COVID vaccine, that's whatever that may be, right? But I saw something which I think people can identify with. And obviously, I'm a dude. I never try and see the world through a woman's eyes, because I think it's the most belittling thing in the world is I can't see it through a woman's eyes. And I'm also not that person, because I'm not enlightened. I'm not like I'm going to try put myself in someone else's shoes. So I'm just going to tell you something that I think is awesome, because I can only see the world through my own eyes. In Austria, a brothel is offering COVID vaccine shots, right? But here's the incentive, because people respond to incentives. And
so is a but.
Yes. Well, this is a good butt, and includes probably a butts as well, is that they offer you can sleep with any woman of your choice at the brothel in exchange for a COVID vaccine shot. What do we think about that, guys?
What?
Yeah.
Wait, but I think in Austria it might be legal, though. It might be legal prostitution. Does that count as prostitution, a brothel?
I think so. I don't really know the technicalities.
Are they going to be screening the people that will be taking the vaccine shots?
What do you mean screening?
Like, to make sure that they like A-okay, they don't have STIs, STDs, like that. You know, if they're offering that up, right, and they're saying you can pick any of our ladies, are they ensuring that those ladies are going to be protected in some form or some way? That's my first question. Before they get the vaccine, are they going to screen these people and ask for like a medical record or something?
Let's assume that this is like one of those high-end brothels, number one. Okay. Everyone's been screened.
Yes.
And number two, and I could be completely wrong on this, let's just assume prostitution is legal in Austria.
Okay.
Now, compare that to the free Uber rides we're getting here with a vaccine.
Yes. I hear you.
It's a solid deal. It's
quid pro quo. Okay, Simpio, so you're worried about the ladies.
Probably 99.9%
vaccinated. Oh, yeah.
Wait. But important question. How much are they charging then? Because what is this just?
No, free? No. It's a free vaccine shot. Yeah, no, it's to incentivize. And listen, you want to get men to do anything, put it in and around the sex thing. You're going to get men to do it.
How many shots are they given?
Well, you only need one. So I mean, Johnson and Johnson, you know?
I don't know. They're probably going back for an early booster.
Yeah. In every sense. Some of the men might need an early booster in every sense. I love that, Michael. So what do we think about that? So you worried about the ladies. I don't really know how brothels run. I haven't run a brothel yet, because I don't want to be too sanctimonious. I may fall upon tough times, and I got to do what I got to do. So I think it's awesome. You know, to get guys to do what they... I know we live in this PC world, and everyone has to seem super enlightened. Largely, if you want to get guys to do things, naked women are such an easy place to start. It's such an easy place to start to get men to get on side. So I love it. I love it personally as a pro vaxxer.
Okay. Well, my only question is, will there be guys there? Like, can I also go get vaccinated and make sure that I'm serviced?
No, excuse me.
Good question.
It's not a good question.
No,
because Simpiwe, you were sexist just now. So you didn't say men that wear makeup. Sorry, I've already spoken to the brothel in Austria, and you didn't say men who wear makeup can wash their skin. So I'm sorry, we're not going to have toxic femininity in our brothel.
No, it's not toxic femininity. I'm asking, as a fellow human being who would also like to utilize this opportunity of getting a free vaccination shot, will there be men there? Because I'm not attracted to women. So I'm asking, will I be serviced by a man? And if that's the case, this is a great idea. This is amazing.
I like that you said service.
North Lars brothels being for men and women. Because like if you go to Amsterdam in the red light district, you just see women in the windows. You don't see men.
Uh-huh.
I think we need to normalize that men are also in brothels.
Absolutely.
To please women.
Yes.
That's my only concern. You're concerned about the females. I'm concerned about the males.
Okay, so
would you go for the double jab if men were in brothels?
Yes.
Maybe. Depends how good looking those men are.
Oh, wow. You
know? Let's say they're 8 out of 10. I don't know how good looking Austria is.
I don't know. I haven't been to Austria. I don't really know too many Austrians. But I just thought that was a fascinating story. Yeah.
Like here, brothels are illegal. So like people don't do brothels and stuff.
Yeah.
But in other countries, brothels are legal and it's normalized and people will use brothels and they clean and stuff. And it's just an interesting way of living.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's like although we had the Sexpo guy come on here. I forget the gentleman's name. And he said, actually, South Africans are wild. We are wide open. So I always think we're prudish. But that's a good point. I mean, let's maybe start a petition. Let's see if we can get in the newspapers. Can we open more male brothels? You know, where men are servicing women. As Simpiwe has said, she'd want to be serviced by a man and would consider a double jab. Now, I mean, excuse the double entendre there. But I agree. I think we need to fight for more male prostitute rights. I'm totally on board for that. I want more men to be able to service women. That's a fantastic way to put it, Simpiwe. We'll finish off on this before we get to the headlines. I just think that's a wonderful...
You can't go from a story about brothels and then end it with "we'll finish off." Your transitions are terrible.
Oh, that's Michael Flax at his best. You're the best, Michael. You are the best. Absolute brilliant. Before we get to headlines, I thought you'd love this one. Carl De Santos says Mbulelo only studied chemistry just so he could tell people he studied chemistry. This guy loves a good brag. But why is it a brag if I did it, you know? I don't get it. I don't get it. But yeah, it's true. I will... Because I'm quite insecure, I will let you know and I will remind you of stuff I've done. So actually, after kind of getting defensive Carl was dead right.
You're classifying that as an insecurity?
Well, if you're
telling people what you've studied. Okay.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I think, okay. Well, I think, you know, there's in everything, you must take the feedback. There's a bit of truth in everything, hey? Hey, Michael, like there's a bit of truth. Sometimes, especially if you don't like it, there's a little bit of truth in it. So I'm not going to dismiss Carl completely. You know, I'm too old now to just get super defensive. Hey, do you guys want some headlines?
Yeah.
Sure.
What's happening in this world?
Do you guys still read newspapers, by the way? Like, I saw somebody reading the newspaper the other day, and it took me aback. I was like, what's that?
Wait, like the actual paper?
Yeah. No, like a full
paper. They were sitting folded, and they were like, page 5, let's see what they wrote.
Yeah.
Like, type of vibe.
Do you guys remember back in the day, I don't know if this still happens, but someone used to throw a newspaper over your wall every single morning. And then Sunday you'd get the Sunday Times thrown over and you'd literally just walk outside and there'd be a random newspaper.
Wait.
And if it rains, they would put it in a bag.
Wait, yeah, Michael, so wait, whoa. Sorry.
The everyday
Simpiwe, just hold on.
My dad was on the everyday package.
Michael.
It would be the funnest thing when they threw it over the wall. You would hear that thump and you'd know the newspaper landed.
But I just want to clear something up. Are you presuming that it just randomly happened like Father Christmas, or are you aware that your parents chose that situation?
No. So I used to see guys riding around the neighborhood on bikes and then they'd throw it on the bike and I don't see that anymore. So I assume it's done.
Oh, you mean like those delivery guys, like newspapers?
Right? Yeah. I assume now you have to go into the shops and purchase it, or purchase it at a robot.
Yeah, it's, but I was stunned. Like, this guy was reading a newspaper.
When last did you see it?
Yeah, like
those
never.
Guys driving around with the bikes.
Yeah, no.
Wait, you've never seen that?
No, no. I mean, like, before the internet, before ADSL, like, that was the last time. And obviously, I used to get it at home as well. My dad, big newspaper reader. But I was just waiting for this person to make those dad noises, those you know that they do when they're reading a paper?
Oh, for your intro to the headlines.
Yeah, you know, in the dad, like a dad. All right, so.
No, isn't it? Okay.
Yeah, it's. Something like that. Yeah.
No, that's on the news.
That's
on
the news. Yes.
All right. Well,
people clear their throats for a story when they need to get people's attention and buy like 2 more seconds for the room to quiet down. It's like clinking a glass when you don't have a glass.
I see what you're saying. It's a little passive aggressive. I do like what you're saying. All right. The Independent says a Canadian becomes the world's first patient to be diagnosed as suffering from climate change. Now, Canadians are always getting a pretty rough ride from Americans, right? And I've said it before, being Betty myself, Betty people are the Canadians of South Africa. Very, very vanilla. Very, very vanilla people. And I did 6 months in Canada at a ski resort. They're just really? Nice people. They're just nice people.
Chemical engineer then goes to Canada to teach skiing for 6 months.
I am not a chemical engineer, Michael. Really smart people are chemical engineers. I just have a chemistry undergrad. So that's not the same thing. Please don't insult chemical engineers. They are actually smart people. They're not morons like me. But what do you think of that, huh? Imagine Canadians now. A Canadian facing breathing issues was diagnosed as possibly the first patient in the world suffering from climate change, as doctors said heat waves and poor air quality were responsible for his condition. So this Dr. Carl Merritt basically said this patient who's suffering from asthma, the only thing he can reduce it down to, for the first time in 10 years, he's written that this person is suffering from climate change. What do we think of that?
I'm a bit taken aback.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to get a day off work for climate change.
You know? Sorry. Yeah, I can already just see that email, like, sorry, can't come into the office due to climate change, you know, not feeling too well. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's a real thing, but for me, it just sounds so.
You see, I'd expect like something to come out of, what's her name, Greta Thunberg for this.
How dare you? That's great.
But nah, that's not flying with me. Like, no, can we? No.
You're not having it, right. Huh?
It's just a no.
Name it seasonal allergies or something.
Yeah.
Oh, guys, I went to the doctor the other day.
Yes.
I was so sick. I thought I was dying. Something was killing me from the inside.
Was it climate change?
And then I went to the... No, worse. It was seasonal allergies. And I don't know if anyone else has been diagnosed with seasonal allergies, but at the age of 29, I've just been diagnosed with seasonal allergies. I now fear the change of the season. Wow, I'm scared what's to come in a couple of months.
So, but okay, Michael. Give us some symptoms, Bella Michael.
Oh my God, it's the worst thing ever. Basically, you just want to sleep all day because your head is filled with mucus. And the doctor says, like, your head can be filled with up to 2 kilograms of mucus. So you just want to sleep all day. And it's just like you're stuffy. It's ridiculous. I went there. I thought I was going to get like a week off work, maybe like COVID tests, etc. She ran all the tests. And then she comes back with world's most expensive nose drops as the treatment. it was like she wouldn't. I was like, cool. I need a doctor's letter. She wouldn't even give me a doctor's letter for a day off work.
Yeah. No, listen, you're not a 5 year old. You're not a 5 year old at kindergarten. Yeah, sorry, Michael. You can't. Climate change and mucus in your brain is not a reason to take off work. Get bloody well, you know, get back to it. Like you said, you love your work. Fight through the mucus.
Let's deal with the easy stuff, like seasonal allergies to solve, and then later on in life, sort out climate change. Really affecting the people nowadays?
Sure. I mean, mucus. Yeah, that's it, eh?
I mean, climate change, you don't get hit with a bill. Here, I got hit with like a grand bill for freaking for the actual climate changing.
Welcome you need to back. Go see those Canadian doctors. Okay, you need a hookup so that they can diagnose you with the right things and say it's climate change.
You're a real
you guys say it's nearly summer or nearly spring. My like wallet clenches now. I don't know what's to come. What other flus are out there? I don't know about.
Oh man,
the joys of growing old. Yeah. The joys of growing old.
when the climate the change in climate can actually kill you.
Yeah. Who knew? Who knew? All right, let's move on. That's fantastic. Let's have one more headline before we get Sean from Revex on. Brian Molefe says Pravin Gordhan and Ramaphosa must take responsibility for the Eskom crisis. Former Eskom chief executive Brian Molefe has called for a parliamentary inquiry into the leadership of both President Cyril Ramaphosa and Public Enterprise Minister Pravin Gordhan's handling of the country's energy crisis. South Africa was again plunged into stage 4 load shedding this week. Eskom is expected to lift stage 4 load shedding at the weekend, with stage 2 load shedding expected to remain throughout the weekend. What are we thinking about this whole, Marco, is it affecting you, Simpiwe, where you are, load shedding? You guys are obviously moving and grooving, you're driving out there. How's load shedding affecting you guys? What are you feeling about this particular story? Because I have a massive opinion. I do know one of these three people, but I have a big opinion about two of them, which, yeah, I think is less than positive. So I'd rather hear your stories.
It's getting hard to remember, like, we're in stage 4 load shedding with stage 2 lockdown.
Yeah. And mucus in the brain.
In stage 9 laugh.
Yeah.
Like, they're just adding on layers to remember. We're like, this country's like an onion now. You need to just like remember each layer of lockdown or load shedding or climate change that we're in.
I hear you.
It's annoying. I can tell you that. So I think last night I got home. Was last night. No, the day before that. I got home, there was load shedding, woke up to load shedding. And I was just like, what the hell? Like, what's this? Like, this is not it. And like, our leadership, government, everybody's at fault here. You know, everybody. Like, for me, it's not it's this person's problem and it's his fault only. No, it's everybody. Everybody dropped the ball on this. And now we are reaping those beautiful consequences of them not doing their jobs and pairing for moments like this.
Like, how hard is it? You need electricity. You need coal. You find a place that has coal. You make sure the coal's covered and won't get wet on the place to burn the coal. And then you supply the people with electricity.
Yeah.
It's such a simple business model.
Yeah.
Look at that. And you figured it out in like 2.0 seconds, Flax. Like, can't they do the same thing?
This world would be a lot brighter if I was running Eskom.
But now, tell me this. That's brilliant. That's brilliant. Brighter.
You'd actually be able to see South Africa from space.
No, that works. Brighter works there actually on two levels, on load shedding level 1 and stage 2. Because brighter with the lights and you're brighter than the guys. Very, very good. Michael, you're excellent. I want you to know that for the rest of your life. But have you considered this now, Michael? There's people in Canada, when you burn coal, it changes the climate and they have to take off work. Have you thought about that? And then there's people in the north of Johannesburg getting mucus in the brain because of the climate. What about that?
Oh, no.
I see how you've turned that story around
now. You see, now it's you're in a pickle now because you've covered the coal, but now you've got mucus in the brain.
Yeah, I'd still rather have lights on. I think it's important. I mean, I was stressing about being on the show now. Like, imagine I had load shedding and then I put my laptop on charge last night knowing that because I had load shedding at 8 o'clock last night.
Uh-huh.
I put my laptop on charge knowing that at some point in my life, the lights will come back on.
Sure.
And then my laptop can charge, but then I thought I might have it at 6 o'clock again this morning. So I thought I might chew through all my data. And yeah, there was lots of anxiety going on around just load shedding. They don't just turn off our lights. They destroy our lives.
Tell them from your mouth to God's ears, there, Michael. Very, very, very good. Yeah. Hey, Michael, you know what? When you're done saving the world and whatever you're doing right now, maybe we let you run Eskom and we get brighter across the board. All right, let's go to our segment with Sean. who is is he back from Italy? We'll ask him in a little bit. But this is, of course, another week of some interesting developments in the world of cryptocurrency. There's a lot to get into. Sean Saunders, who is the co-founder of Revex, is here to tell us about it. Let's get him on and see if he's got his fake background or he's still in Italy. Nope, fake background. He is back. Mr. Sean Saunders, how are you, sir?
Good morning. Yeah, very good, thanks. It's the real background, by the way. That's the real
option. Yeah, I was just about to say, that is 100% real there.
Yeah, that's what,
we that's try, what we try Bitcoin bars. Right?
Yeah, no, 100%. But now I'm back from Italy. No more traveling. I don't actually feel like traveling again for the next 12 months. That was a terrible experience. You know, when you arrive at sort of the Italian border, they say, can we see your vaccination passport? And they say it in like half English, half Italian, so you don't understand it to begin with.
Yes.
And then you hand in this little piece of paper, which is the South African vaccination certificate. And they kind of just look at you and they're like, no, this. And then they call 3, 4, 5 different people, have an espresso, and you spend an hour and a half waiting at the airport to get through. So my advice is not to travel during COVID, not to Italy at least.
Noted, Sean.
Duly noted. For those of us who were smart like Sean and can save enough money to travel, there's your advice for December. Sean, an incredible week for Bitcoin. Some of us, you know what, I'm going to need to call you guys at Bitcoin, at Revex this week and actually get involved in the game. $1 million the price hit recently. I mean,
oh.
Boy, oh boy. Sean, talk us through sort of what does that mean for you guys? I mean, do you feel sort of vindicated, or do you feel we're just sort of getting started in the game in terms of alternative means of being able to pay and transact globally?
So this is all happening now. And we've said sort of this is at mainstream maybe about 6 or 9 months ago, when you had a country that came out that essentially said, listen, we're going to treat Bitcoin as legal tender. That was to me like, oh my gosh, this is actually happening. And now you've got loads of different countries. You've got Paraguay, you've got some other South American nations that are looking at actually adopting Bitcoin in particular as a means of legal tender. And I mean, that's huge, right? That was something 3 or 4 years ago, people kind of laughed at you at when you said this. And now you've got pension funds outside of South Africa, and that's another topic we can dive into, but pension funds outside of South Africa, endowments, hedge funds, high net worth individuals, you know, they're all entering the space. Like it was a retail sort of endeavor in 2017 where people were just speculating, and now it's got mainstream adoption. And don't get me wrong, people are still speculating. This is very much like the early days of the internet, but there's some incredible projects emerging. And he has an interesting stat, because I think a lot of people sort of hear about this crypto space, and because it's all digital and a lot of it is offshore, they don't really understand the magnitude of what's going on. So the entire JSE's market cap, so the value of all the companies on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, the largest stock exchange in South Africa by far, that comes to roughly around $1.1 trillion. The value of the crypto market right now, and I'll tell you the exact stat, the exact amount is $2.8 trillion. So the entire crypto market is 2.8 times larger than the JSE's total market capitalization. So that's just one thing to start, you know, let that sink in. The entire value of all the companies in South Africa, and this is an aggressive estimate, would be roughly around $2 trillion. So you've got a cryptocurrency market that is, you know, one third larger than all the companies listed and unlisted in South Africa. That's how big this is.
It's incredible.
This is huge. Yeah. It's bigger than a country such as South Africa. And, you know, there's been a lot of value created over the last while. But I think people need to realize this has arrived, right? I mean, you don't look at Bitcoin being a $1-3 trillion asset. This is getting global attention. And it's still just a tiny, tiny fraction of the global economy. South African banks haven't even looked at this. That means that there's loads of other emerging market banks out there as well that haven't looked at this. Mm. So when this adoption grows and continues to grow, as we expect it will over the coming years, $1 trillion, that's the current sort of market cap of, well, it's $1.5 trillion for Bitcoin, that becomes relatively small. You start looking at $10, $15, $20 trillion. That's what we're excited about. And it's not going to be a linear road. Don't get me wrong. There's going to be loads of ups and downs along the way. But that's what's got me really excited. So, I mean, the returns that you've seen over the last 12 months, they've been phenomenal. A lot of our customers are smiling. But, you know, it is a longer term journey here. And this isn't an asset class that you go out to and put your life savings in. You start small, you feel comfortable with it, uh-huh. you get your hands dirty, and then, yeah, over the longer term, you sort of pulled out a bigger portion of your portfolio in crypto.
Kind of like a good relationship, you know, you vibe, you date, you meet her parents, and then you get married, two kids, and then you guys live happily together and you retire together. So do it slowly. And I love that approach, because I think sometimes we fear financial people because some of them are sharks. They just want the commission. And so I've always loved that about your approach. Now, Bitcoin's not the only thing that's smashing it, right? Is Ethereum hit new highs this week as well?
Yeah, I mean, I'll go over the last year returns across different assets. You've got Ethereum, which as things stand right now is up 903%. 903% over the last 12 months. Bitcoin's up roughly around 312%. You've got Uniswap, that's up 150%. Link, that's Chainlink, it's up 150% as well. Cardano up 1,800%. And I mean, I can continue going through all of these, but probably the star performer in the crypto space, and this was a cryptocurrency that was hardly known 12 months ago, and has really just blown up, arguably faster than any other sort of large cap coin, and that's Solana. I mean, Solana's up a whopping 10,000% over the last 12 months. And this is sort of like a startup, because a lot of people look at crypto and they're like, holy crap, 10,000%, like how on earth does that happen? But I mean, VCs, venture capital firms, they see this every single year, right? So you invest in a startup, that startup goes from being worth 1 million rand, all of a sudden worth 100 million rand. That's that sort of growth. And that's what you're now seeing with Solana. There's, you know, this massive move from the likes of Ethereum, from Cardano, over to Solana. Why? Because it's faster in terms of its transactions and the way that it processes transactions, and it's more scalable. And you know, Ethereum sort of become a victim of its own success. So I mean, the crypto market isn't just Bitcoin. I think people must understand that Bitcoin's dominance, so the total value that Bitcoin makes up in the crypto market, I mean, rewind 3 years, was close to 80%. Today it sits at 45%. So you've seen the value of Bitcoin relative to other cryptocurrencies decline over time. And that's why we're advocates for sort of saying, take a diversified approach when you enter this market. Don't try just go out and only buy Bitcoin. I mean, you're missing out then on everything else this market has to offer.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously for South Africans we're looking to get into that, and we're rather, I don't know, are we late adopters? Are we early adopters? But, you know, our pension fund is prohibiting the purchase of cryptocurrencies. Could you maybe, I mean, there's a sub clause in there. Quickly talk us through what it is that's preventing us from getting involved really in the game.
Yeah, so I actually was on MoneyWeb yesterday talking about this. Bloomberg also will be having a piece on this later in this week. And I don't get this. This is truly one of those moments where the rest of the world is going in one direction and South Africa just goes, hey, listen, like I'm pulling the handbrake, we're going the other direction. And so if you look at the UK, look at Switzerland, look at Singapore, look at all these progressive nations, they say, okay, listen, cryptocurrencies have grown. They've been the top performing asset class over the last 12 months, 24 months, 5 years and 10-year periods, right? So hell, they probably make sense to include them as an alternative asset within a broader diversified cryptocurrency, a broader investment portfolio. So that's what they've encouraged. They've said, listen, you know, get involved with alternative investments, because remember, rewind 10 or 20 years, the only investments that you could get exposure to were really stocks and bonds. And all of a sudden now you've expanded that to include FX, so currencies, you've included real estate, you started going into private equity, venture capital. Now you've included crypto in that. I mean, today we've spoken about this on the show. You can actually invest in non-fungible tokens, yep. So digital art. You can invest in tokenized art. You can actually invest in classic cards. You can invest in Pokemon cards. The entire investing world has sort of been turned on its head. Now, pension funds need to get exposure to some of these alternative assets. Why? Because there's nothing more important to a pension fund than getting a diversified portfolio, i.e. when the market in equities or stocks declines, that something else is then maintaining value within that portfolio. And Reg 28, which ironically is meant to, and that's Regulation 28, it ironically is meant to protect and assist in diversifying South African pension fund portfolios. They've come out to say, hey, listen, you cannot, as a pension fund, invest in cryptocurrency or gain exposure to cryptocurrencies. Now, we've been talking with a load of different pension funds. Why? Because we recently had a proof of reserves audit. We are introducing insurance on the platform whereby all your cryptocurrency holdings will be insured. And pension funds like that, right?
Yeah, I mean, of course.
Saying, well, okay, our assets are protected. We can trust you. You've got a JSE listed investor behind you. Like, great, Revex, let's do stuff. And then all of a sudden, Reg 28 comes out and says, no, you're not getting exposure to this. And I was like, well, back when I was sort of looking at all of this back at uni days, I understood regulators to be the ones to say, okay, right, let's put the framework in place. And then the asset managers or pension fund managers, they were the ones in charge of actually being able to allocate funds.
Yeah.
So I'm still scratching my head going, why on earth have you done this? You've completely, in my opinion, you're limiting the opportunity in pension funds. And, you know, how have pension funds been doing in South Africa? We lose money every single year. The currency depreciates. You can only move a certain amount of money offshore. It's just ridiculous. I don't know. In my opinion, I just sit there and I scratch my head. I'm like, why on earth, South Africa, why did you do this? This makes no sense.
Well, I think... Sean, go ahead, Mark.
Just a couple of questions. I just need to understand the basics. All those cryptos that you said are booming at the moment, like 130%, can I buy that off Revex?
You can. You can head on, and we've got the top 10 cryptocurrencies, with the exception of Litecoin and Bitcoin Cash, which we'll be introducing pretty soon. And you can buy those individual cryptocurrencies, or alternatively, you go and you buy a basket. So that's a ready-made bundle of the top 10 cryptocurrencies, just like the JSE Top 40 or the S&P 500.
Oh.
So you get just one-click exposure to that.
And, yeah. And is Revex an app or is it a website? How am I going about buying this?
So we went and built a progressive web app. And what that means is essentially we had a website that felt like a mobile app when you accessed it on your phone. We have got a mobile app in the more traditional sense launching in about a month's time, fingers crossed.
Lovely.
And that will then hopefully solve that problem as well.
All right.
And well, then will I just transfer from my bank account into my Revex account and then transfer it into Bitcoin or whatever I'm wanting to buy?
That's a great question as well. So yes, that's exactly how it works. You come along, you make a bank deposit, you just make sure that you use your unique reference. There's no fees for making a deposit or anything, and you buy whatever product you'd like on the platform. You've got loads of different investment options, and you're on your way.
And do I need any documentation to set it up? Sorry, I'm like stealing it.
Yeah. Michael, this isn't your personal sort of... Sean's the CEO. He's got other stuff to do. If you want to get involved at Revex, and I'm glad you got all these questions. I'm glad that you're looking to diversify your portfolio, but Sean's got other stuff to do as well. You know what I mean, Michael? He's not your personal consultant.
I hear 130%. I want in.
You want a bit of the action. All right, Michael, I'll tell you what you can do is on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, they are Revex Invest. Otherwise, it's very, very easy to invest. Step one, sign up to Revex for free, verify your ID, and then you add funds and select the bundle of your choice. It really is that simple. Now, I have been on the website, so it really is as simple as it sounds. And of course, you can get a hold of the guys. Should you have any more problems or you want to contact the guys, you can head over to Revex.com where, Sean, I'm sure you and the team will be waiting to help people like Mark or Flax who want personal attention and on a new skincare program, which we can all notice.
Yeah, mine's coming through now. If we can just like boost that to the top.
The Sean Saunders.
People call me directly.
That's it. Yeah,
he wants to be on it.
That's it. We're going to get the CEO, Sean, who's trying to get even more funding to grow his business. Just Sean, if you could just take a fifth of your day to call Mark or Flax, please, to help him click through. That would be great. Sean, you're great. And let's keep rocking, man. You're a South African doing great things. And let's get involved in the bigger world. And let's hope that the politicians can get out the way so we can get this economy going and get these great platforms like Revex going.
Fantastic. I don't think the politicians will be getting out the way, but hell, we're going to run over them anyway.
They are. Oh, man, you love to hear it. And as you go, Hein says, I've been very happy with my Revex investment. Thanks, Sean. All right, Sean, keep it real out there, brother.
Brilliant, guys. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Ciao.
Take care.
That's Sean Saunders, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, you can go to Revex.com to get in the mix, get a piece of the action like Markel would like to do. So, hey, Markel, you're going to get into it? I mean, Ethereum, all-time high. Bitcoin, all-time high. And as we were saying earlier, the best time to plant a tree 25 years ago.
It's obviously working. I mean, did you see Sean's background? It was like so symmetrical and like calming. That must be coining it off Bitcoin, etc. I mean, look at my background. I got freaking like, look at my background compared to Sean's.
Yeah, I mean,
can you take us through your background?
YouTube.
So, you know, take us through. We see a bit of books.
Look, you know, I'm a hoarder. I mean, look at this rubbish I have. Who has a baseball mitt? And like, I'm not even American. and I have a baseball. I bought this because it was an impulse buy, and I've never used it, but I have it. I play baseball. Just like Mbulelo is a chemical engineer, I play baseball.
I'm not a chemical engineer. I'm not a chemical.
What else do I have here?
Oh, my God, Michael. Okay, take us through.
What else you got going?
Play squash. Don't even play squash. Have a squash racket.
Okay.
Can't remember. I don't even have membership to play squash anyway.
Yeah.
So take us through this. You just do.
I have a tennis racket random too. I play tennis.
Michael, that tennis racket's too small for you. I can tell you right now, as somebody who does
it's
actually
100% play. Too small.
Yeah.
Do you even know how to check if it's the right size?
This tennis racket even has duct tape on it for some reason.
I don't know what's going on there, Michael. All right, look. What you may need
don't
is.
Don't you guys have a hoarding show?
No, it's. No, we
is
can't.
Is it collector mania or something?
No. Oh, excuse me. Excuse me. Have some respect. Collecting and hoarding are not the same thing. Collector mania is brought to you.
What is the difference between collecting and hoarding?
I'm glad you asked that. You can join us every Monday on Collector Mania, which you can find the podcast for on cliffcentral.com, the Cliff Central app, or Spotify to learn the difference. Michael, you can join us on there.
I collect random things. How about that?
I'll tell you what. I'm going to give you a little break to think about some of the things you've said in this hour, Michael. I want you to collect yourself for the next few minutes. Hoarders and collectors are not the same thing. Michael Flax. All right, folks, we'll see you in a little bit. It's the GCS.
CliffCentral.com